5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, strong and powerful, Brittany Metzig. Brittany, are you ready to do this?
So ready.
I love it. Brittany is a certified financial planner. She's a national security, social security advisor with Bond and Devic, helping people make sound decisions around their social security benefits. And Brittany and I went to high school together, so that's pretty cool. Brittany, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
High school was just a few short years ago, right?
Mm.
Well, I am a married mom of three boys. I took over a financial planning practice that my parents started in 2000 after they became ill. I joined my current firm, Bond and Devic Wealth Partners, in 2011, so just hit my 10-year anniversary with them. We're unique in that we're the only financial services company in Minnesota to be a certified B Corp and have been helping clients with SRI, sustainable, responsible, and impact investing for over 20 years. My specialty is retirement planning, and it all starts with running a retirement analysis for clients. We feel it's the cornerstone of what we do. It gives all clients a framework for their cash flow, goals, investment allocation, and so that's sort of how I fell into analyzing Social Security.
Nice. So I appreciate everything you just said there. What was it about Social Security that sort of drew you in?
You know, we kept having it be part of the analysis for clients, and it felt like it wasn't like we were just stabbing at a dartboard, but at the same time, it felt like there could be a little more thoughtfulness to it. I know when I first started with my parents, it was sort of, you just take Social Security when you retire. There wasn't a lot to the decision. And we started seeing we could add value to clients if we took a little more time to do the analysis. And I was amazed at getting into it that there's no one size fits all. I mean, it's really, if they're single or married, it matters. If there's an age differential, if there has been an income differential. And so those all became pieces of the puzzle that we felt like we could add value and help clients maximize their retirement income.
Yeah, well, I appreciate all that. It seems like a really kind of a wild thing when two of the most important programs that we have as Americans, Medicare and then Social Security, are so incredibly complex, and that if I make a mistake, it's like you are, I don't want to say screwed, but they're big penalties.
Yeah, that's a really good point too. I think some people, especially when we work with higher net worth people, they sort of pass Social Security aside thinking, well, I don't need it. But when you look at the dollars that it pays out to people, it's a huge benefit. And, you know, I really, with Medicare, I try to just get tip of the iceberg and then send clients off to people. You know, I mean, as advisors, there's only so much we can know about certain topics. And so that's, you're right, though. I mean, biggest programs, and everybody should be looking into them and taking, you know, leveraging them as well as they can for their situation.
Yeah, for sure. So how do you start to sort of parse through everything? Because there are so many different variables and so many different things to take into consideration. Is it, tell me just why or what it is that you're trying to accomplish for the retirement income picture is and goals and objectives? Is that the starting point?
It is. I mean, you're right. And one thing I didn't mention either is you sometimes have to go with the what's the word, the psychological aspect of the client too. If we have ones we feel like cash flow is going to be tight for them no matter what, and we can make Social Security a part of the picture, that plays into it. But other than that, we really start with just a straight up retirement projection where we're feeding in, you know, one option of Social Security, and then we run different versions in there. And then we even put in, say, a mortality, because something like the widow's benefit, you know, is a big deal to think about, that sometimes there's a case for maximizing one spouse's benefit, knowing if something happens to one of them, you know, they might be collecting on that. So even though it's no perfect science, we run a bunch of scenarios just to really try to dig into their specific situation and see which one is going to be just most beneficial for them.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Do you have a sense of how many actual variables that there are for a single person and then a married couple for Social Security? Hundreds, thousands?
Oh, gosh, that is a good question. You know, and then it gets down to, when I find, if we look at the regular ages, there's an early collection, you know, 62, the latest is 70. So we're looking at an 8-year period. I don't like to too much get into months. I mean, that's really not going to, you know, one of the ways we look at it is to say there's a break even, right? So if you start collecting at 62, you're going to get money in your pocket sooner that you're not pulling from somewhere else. But then, you know, when if you delayed and waited for that higher benefit, when is that going to kick in and break even? You know, at what age is that going to happen? A single person, it's just a lot simpler, because that's really the only variable. If they pass away, benefit's gone and that's it. A couple gets a lot more complicated, because it could be, you know, which spouse lives longer and all sorts of different things. So we just try to do our best. And, you know, we don't get really deep into family history or anything. But if people come in and say, okay, you know, my wife has a better chance at longevity than I do, let's plan accordingly, you know, we go with that. So, like I said, a little bit of an art more than a science.
No, I totally appreciate that. And like so many things in life, it'd be great if there were just right and wrong answers to these questions. But like so many things in life, there are absolutely not. What role do emotions play? I have to imagine that, because they play a role in so many of our financial decision making, that people probably emotionally find themselves drawn towards certain decisions around Social Security as well.
Yeah, you know, I actually hadn't thought about that beforehand. Social Security is a little less sensitive than something like long-term care insurance. I mean, I know with long-term care insurance, my grandpa even said, I don't need it, get it on Wanda, you know, my wife. And it's like, no, that's not protecting anybody. So I think that one has a little more to it. This one, the most interesting case I've had was, we had a husband and wife, and this was before the latest rules came in where you could file and suspend, meaning you could, you know, take your either benefit and then kind of switch it as you chose. And there was a wife who felt very strongly about that she had earned her own Social Security benefit and she did not want to take her husband's. And that was a super interesting thing, because we were showing her on paper the numbers that, well, you could let your own grow, you know, while you're collecting it. And she still couldn't get her head around, like, that she wasn't going to take her own earned benefit. But beyond that, I think, you know, we don't bring the mortality in, which is we do in the background, but we don't bring that up to clients as much. So I think that's probably where the greatest sensitivity could be. Otherwise, I think they see this one as a little more more neutral. They just, you know, take our advice on it, and there isn't a lot of, I don't know, ego tied to it, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? You just never know. So that was, you mentioned that there used to be a lot more options within selecting your benefit, and that changed. Now it's probably been, what, 5-6 years? And I don't know if you have thoughts on why that changed, or if that's been sort of a net benefit, other than it just sort of is what it is.
Personally, I would call them, they were loopholes that people could get into, and it was people who figured it out and worked around the system. And so I think for the most part, that wasn't the intent, was to have those loopholes available. And, you know, honestly, sometimes those are available more to higher net worth people, because they have the advisors who've looked into it, and that's not necessarily an even playing field. So I'm not upset about that. I mean, it changed a lot of our planning. I think there are other areas, such as, you know, like backdoor Roths or the Secure Act they recently put in and changed, you know, distribution. Some of those, it's always, are we doing this to close loopholes? Are we doing it to, I don't know, change a system that maybe was working and didn't need any fixing?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Never always know the reasons behind.
Right. So in terms of when people should be thinking about Social Security? Is this something that we should be thinking about? I'm going to take it this year at this age, 5 years out, 10 years out, or just sort of depends?
I thought about that too when I was picked this topic to focus on with you, as you might have a lot of young viewers and it seems, you know, really far off. I would say it's not important to decide right now, especially because they could increase the age. They could, you know, change it a lot by the time some people retire. But I do strongly feel it's not going away. And so I think people can, you know, fairly confidently include it as part of their plan. I used to have younger clients say, just don't even put Social Security in for me. It's not going to be around when I get there. And that's been an interesting area to pay attention to, too, as far as, you know, what are the potential fixes, since it's a program that's in, you know, a little bit of trouble, and what does that really look like? You know, and I guess I'd say for younger clients, it's use it just as a placeholder right now. Don't get too far into it. But you know, the decision like Social Security, you could apply this to other areas that you're making decisions on, such as, you know, in my 401k, should I do pre-tax or Roth? You know, those are all things that can have an impact on your long-term plan. So I think the earlier you start thinking about it and weighing, you know, which of those decisions works best for you instead of just sort of the random choice selection, I think does make a difference.
Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense. And the earlier that people can start thinking about just their money in general and taking an interest in retirement, which can be super abstract, right? If I'm 25 years old, the idea of me being 70 years old is probably an unreal thing, but will hopefully one day happen to me. And it's better that I start thinking about it today. Planning for that older version of me, right?
Right. When we get younger clients too, when I run their retirement projection, we do keep it a little, you know, more open-ended, but I always hope it just helps them see, you know, that saving you're doing right now, it's not going off into thin air. You know, if you're doing that 10% in your 401k and you're getting a match, here's what that dollar amount looks like, and here's what kind of cash flow it can recreate for you in retirement. So I think that's the retirement projection is a super powerful thing, even for young people to say, yes, I need to be doing this. And here's what it, you know, right now what I'm doing, here's what that looks like going into my retirement.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So in terms of working with younger people, the whole idea here is, I think that we all know that the earlier we start, the better. The best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The next best time is today. How have y'all found success in helping change behaviors for the better? Is it showing that projection of, hey, if you put in $100 today versus waiting 10 years kind of a thing? Just walk me through sort of that interaction.
Right. You know, in my current firm, I feel like we're pretty fortunate in that people come in our door ready to work. But I think to your point, I'll have that person come in and they feel embarrassed. They feel like it's too late to get started. And like you said, second best time is today. So I feel like that's been sort of one of my gifts with clients, is helping them feel comfortable and that, hey, no matter where we're starting is okay. And here's what we have to do. And you know, I always talk about retirement projections too. You can come in and say, I want to retire at 65 with my same current income and, you know, these certain goals. And I typically ask them, what's your flex point? And if they say, I'll retire later, then we have a little more flexibility. If they say, no, I'm retiring at 65, you know, they have to acknowledge that that requires some different choices now. So I give them the choice to say what their flex point is. And people are usually pretty agreeable to that. You know, they can really identify what they're willing to change and what they're willing to do.
So when you say flex point, that means either you can push out the date of your retirement or potentially keep the date the same, but reduce the amount of money you have coming in?
Exactly. Or start saving more now. Those to me are the typical three flex points we can work with in their projection.
Got it. Huh. And which one is the most common? That's super interesting. What do people normally say?
No, I didn't know I was unique in this. Maybe I've just sort of come to it over time. Usually it's a combo, and I don't want to get the projection too complicated where we're putting in too many bells and whistles. But if we say, hey, how about you just push that retirement date out a year or two and you save this much more? And that's where, again, you know, kind of like you said, the power of showing them that, to say, you know, it was looking really tight at 65, but at 67 with a little more saving, you know, you've got this much more security in retirement. They seem to really respond to that. I mean, you're always going to have the clients who say they're going to do one thing and they don't stick to it. But for the most part, I think that's you know, that's pretty powerful for them. And obviously there are unexpected things in life that change. But, you know, if we start with someone in their 30s too, it's not like it's this hard and fast, you know, plan that they have to stick to for life. We look at it every certain number of years. And, you know, sometimes I think for young people, one of the biggest risks is they start out with a lot lower income. And then as their salary increases, they spend more, but they don't necessarily adjust their savings accordingly. So I think that's where it's important to keep your eye on that projection too, because it's amazing how you know, $5,000 a month seemed like a lot at one point, and before you know it, it's a much higher amount you're living on.
Yeah, there's no two ways. There's no doubt about that. So, save more today, live on less later, or work longer. Those are sort of the decision points right there. And fascinating, right? Because I think that so many of us, so many Americans, struggle with being able to put money away successfully right now. So is there an opportunity, or are they willing to make sacrifices that it takes to be able to save a little bit more today so they don't have to work longer or live on less later? It's like that whole prisoner's dilemma that we used to do back even in high school, Brittany, where you sort of just have to make trade-offs and and there's risks.
And I think part of that is our current culture. I look at my kids and think of how different their life is. And just, you know, I mean, we always think the next generation is more spoiled than we were. But, you know, when I've had clients in the past looking at a credit card statement and they say they're living paycheck to paycheck and you see the daily fancy coffee and, you know, bagel breakfast, you're like, I'm sorry, no, this is not living paycheck to paycheck. So, you know, I don't give too much tough love, but you also have to say, you know, your spending is a series of choices, and you really have to be careful about which ones are discretionary versus necessary.
Yeah, discretionary versus necessary. Not too much tough love, huh, Brittany? But what if your kids? When your kids are 25, your kids are 25 and they're not saving any money, but they're driving a fancy car, they're going out to eat all the time. You gonna bring tough love into that situation, Brittany?
You know what? I should clarify. I'm much kinder to our clients than to my children. They get my tough love for sure.
Okay, fair enough. I love it. Well, Brittany, Savage Nation is ready for your difference making tip. What do you have for them?
Financial decisions you make along the way are rarely arbitrary. Make sure you're being thoughtful about how you can most efficiently leverage your savings, investments, and employer benefits. Understand your options and consult a professional if it's over your head.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on. Brittany, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
We are at bondanddevick.com, and there you can find podcasts, our Facebook and Twitter links.
Nice. Spell that out for me, please.
bondanddevick.com.
Excellent.
It's one of those that every time I have to spell it, I think, why did they go with that long name? But it's from our founder. So that's what we do.
Sure. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Brittany your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to bondanddevick, bondanddevick.com. Check out all the great resources that Brittany just described. Thanks again, Brittany.
Thanks.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. So we are all in this together. I know how important it is for me to hit reset, to refocus, reprioritize, and even reprogram myself every quarter or so in order to make sure that my mind, my body, and my money are where they need to be. These days, we are all going hard constantly with so many demands on our time, our attention. And that's why I created the Strive Online Bootcamp, to be able to take a step back, to ensure that we're optimized in three key areas of our lives, our minds, our bodies, and our money. And I'd love for you to come with me on this two-week journey. You can click on the link in the notes of the show, or you can go to strivedetox.com. Check out the program. I'd love to have you a part of it.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.